And now to the emerald ash borer, the beetle from Asia that was first detected in Michigan nearly two decades ago. The USDA says it can be blamed for the destruction of tens of millions of ash trees in 30 states, including here in Wisconsin. But fungi could prove helpful in containing this invasive forest pest. Do you have ash trees? How do you feel about the spread of the emerald ash borer? It's 800-642-1234. Ben Held is a forest pathologist at the University of Minnesota. He is lead author of this new study published in the journal Fungal Biology that identifies fungi associated with emerald ash borer infestations. Ben, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So what role do fungi have in the death of these ash trees that are infected by this beetle?
Right. Well, we're finding what we found so far is that there are three different groups that we've found that are important as these ash die. And one of them are canker fungi. So these fungi move into trees that are stressed usually, and they can cause cankers and kill tissue in the tree. And as the emerald ash borer, the larvae will feed on the inner bark of the tree. They produce these wounds, and over several years, these become exposed, and fungi can move in there and take advantage of that area and invade the tree. And so there are a number of different canker fungi that we found that are associated with those. And we're doing some research looking at, okay, what is their role in tree death as they probably work with the tree, or, you know, as the tree is getting attacked by EAB, you know, will kill tissue and probably kill the tree quicker than if they weren't there. Some other fungi we found were decay fungi. So these fungi are basically, if you think of, you know, a lot of fungi decay wood plant material, okay? And so these go in there and will decompose the wood, and becomes important as these trees die. They can decompose the wood quite rapidly. And so as arborists go and try to remove these, they fall apart and become a dangerous situation, as well as when these trees die. A lot of these trees are on boulevards and streets, of course.
Yep.
And, you know, you can get them blowing over in the wind. They become a hazard too for people. And so there's that. And then the final one is entomopathogens. And so these are fungi that will attack insects. And so there are a number of different species we found that were doing that. And these are really fascinating fungi that are capable of killing, you know, different forms of insects, from, you know, the larvae to the adult beetle, possibly the eggs. And so we're doing research with some of these species to see if we can use that as a biocontrol to control this insect with one organism controlling another organism. That's what biocontrol is. And so instead of using, say, insecticides and different methods like that.
Yeah. Well, it seems like these fungi are taking advantage of the emerald ash borer's handiwork. You know, once the beetle does its damage, it's like the fungi is like, oh, there's an opening for me, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what fungi do. And it's amazing to see the diversity that we've found. And you're exactly right. There's nothing wasted, so to speak, in nature. And these fungi will move in, lots of different species, take advantage of that. Basically, it's a new niche, really, because, you know, we, as an invasive, we haven't had this type of, you know, widespread stressed ash on our landscape, right? And so this is a new area that they can move in and finding fascinating fungi, taking advantage of it. You're exactly right.
Well, Ben, you know, part of your research has involved collecting infected ash tree samples from here in Wisconsin. Why are you doing that?
So it was found in Minnesota. It's been in Wisconsin longer than it has in Minnesota. And so the damage was more widespread than it was at the same time in Minnesota. And so we were doing some comparative analysis with some of the fungi here and saying, okay, maybe, trying to figure out what the succession is and what it looks like when it's been there longer and you have more dying ash and are there certain species that are becoming dominant as more ash die. And so we were doing some basically we're using DNA. We can sequence all the fungi that are in a sample of wood and find out the species and do some comparisons with Minnesota here.
Yeah, I mean, these ash trees come down quite often, including on my boulevard. But, is it difficult to get these samples because that ash tree is either going to be treated for the life of the tree or it's coming down? How difficult is it to get your specimens?
It's been fairly easy in a sense because we've had a lot of assistance from arborists and the people who are helping us with the city personnel that are removing these and tree companies because what's happening really is that there's a lot of, that are being removed ahead of time even because the big issue here is trying to stay ahead of it. And so as you get these trees that are being attacked, they can produce a lot of adults. And so if you leave them around, then it's going to make the situation worse, right? And cities are, can be overwhelmed with the cost of removing these. That's why it's one of the reasons, it's been so destructive too, is that it costs a lot of money to remove these. And we're talking hundreds of millions of trees. It's no small feat. And then you have to replant or, you presumably like to replant these, right? And so, a lot is being removed, and so we're able to get those from those trees that are being removed.
So how do you determine whether a species of fungi may be on the side of helping the trees or hurting the trees? Because it sounds like the canker and the decay fungi may not exactly be the most helpful in terms of eradicating the beetle.
Right. So they're you're basically looking at, so we're identifying them by the main way we were identifying these in this study was culturing them. And so you isolate fungi from these samples from the wood and media. And so you have an actual physical fungal culture of it. And we sequence the DNA of it. Basically, it's a region of DNA in the fungus that's considered sort of like a barcode. And so you can sequence this and then you can compare it in this big database and find the identity of the of these species. And so there are known species of canker fungi and these that are kind of related in a sense. And so you know that's kind of what their role is. And so you can kind of group them by those categories of canker fungi and decay fungi and intima pathogens. And so we know that, the canker fungi are going to be not helping the tree based on their function of what we know of other decay fungi or canker fungi, and the same thing with decay fungi. And so we're able to categorize these and understand,
Sort through them.
On a broad level what they're doing, but we don't know exactly what their role is. And so this was a first look at, okay, like we said, there's this new niche, basically. There's this resource that hasn't been available before. And what are these fungi? Who's there and what are they doing? Is kind of what we're trying to answer. And the more we look, the more we find. I mean, we look in lots of different areas and we find new species. Like this, for this study, we found, 32, presumably, new species. And so they're incredibly important in so many different ecosystems.
Ben Held is a researcher in the plant pathology department at University of Minnesota, has been investigating the role of fungi in emerald ash borer infestations. How has the emerald ash borer affected your community, your parks, your forest land? What do you hope researchers learn about fungi? Did you take down an ash tree recently? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Ben Held here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're exploring a potential biocontrol for the emerald ash borer, the wood-boring beetle that kills ash trees by eating under the bark. Researchers at the University of Minnesota discovered some species of fungi that attack the invasive beetle, attack other insects, that warrant further testing as a potential way to contain infestations. Do you have ash trees? Are you treating them with insecticides? Join in, 800-642-1234. We have Ben Held with us, the study's lead author and a researcher in the College of Food, Agricultural, and Natural Resource Sciences at the University of Minnesota. Catherine is joining us from Random Lake. Hi, Catherine. What would you like to say?
I planted a blue ash tree in the Richfield area, and all the ash trees around me are dead, or around that area are dead, except my blue ash. My blue ash is infected. It has sent up kind of shoots from the branches, but it's coming back this year, and I was wondering if there's any chance it can, it has the right kind of fungi and can beat the emerald ash borer.
Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there has been some evidence that blue ash is more resistant. And so did you say it has been attacked by EAB?
Yes.
But it's hanging, how many years has it, since it's shown that it's been attacked?
I'm going to say 5 or 6 years.
Okay. And it's still hanging on pretty well?
It's still hanging on. It's coming back. I've checked it. It's going to be putting out leaves this year again.
Well, that's good. Yep. I would keep an eye on it. And, you know, if there's any dead branches and things like that, you can trim them out or have someone do that and see how it does. But yes, there is some evidence that blue ash is more resistant. There's not too much of that around though. Yep. I'm glad you had that planted.
Catherine. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I ask one more question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Should I cut off those spiky branches that are growing up that really they're coming from some of the bigger branches? They're just little twiggy things. Should those be cut off or should I just leave them alone?
You can cut those off. Those are called epicormic branching, and that happens when the trees are stressed. They'll put those out. But yes, you can trim those off.
All right, trim those up. Catherine, thanks. Jeff is joining us in Delafield with a question. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. A couple different questions. First of all, starting to lose ash trees in low-lying areas, and I'm wondering what to plant. I thought of swamp white oak, but I think it's too wet for the swamp white oak. The other thing, in my yard, I treat them with imidacloprid, I think it's called. I pour it on the ground, and now I've read that causes other problems. It's a systemic, and it can cause problems for pollinators. Hmm. So those are my two questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, sure. You know, swamp white oak should do well in the lower areas. That's probably a good choice. American elm actually does well and tolerates a lot of different environments. So that's another good choice. And if you do that, there's a number of different resistant, you know, we're talking about another invasive here, Dutch elm disease, but there are a number of different cultivars that are resistant, like Valley Forge or Princeton. Or St. Croix that are available. As far as the insecticide goes, you know, I'm not sure exactly on that that particular formulation, but product. You can go to if you Google EAB Emerald Ash Borer Info. .info. There's a great publication there about different products that you can use for homeowners, soil drenches and things like that. So that gives some
that
some
has some resources
yeah,
there
better than I can explain right now. But.
Well, Ben, how can someone recognize whether a tree may be home to emerald ash borers? What are the signs?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what you will start to see is some dieback in the crown. So you have some branches up in the crown that'll start to die back. And as I just mentioned, your previous caller talked about these little shoots that'll grow on the sides of the tree where off the branches, little clumps of leaves. Those are epicormic shoots. That tells you that the tree is stressed. And so that's one indication. Another is as the beetle starts to progress and you have a bigger population under the bark, you'll have woodpeckers that will actually go after the larvae underneath the bark. And so you'll have woodpecker damage around. And so, you know, little holes that they make, they'll go after the larvae and eat them. They're actually a good biocontrol themselves. But, and if you start to see those galleries or these cankers underneath, then that's a sign too. And again, that's as more advanced, that happens when the attack is more advanced and those galleries become exposed underneath the bark and it comes off. So those are the big ones.
Do you think fungi are getting enough focus, enough attention from scientists for the potential to fight invasive species like this beetle?
No, I think in general they aren't in a lot of different respects you know, they're incredibly diverse group of organisms, and the fact that they can do this, that, you know, there are these natural methods that they use and that is out there to kind of keep things in balance in a sense, and we can utilize these. But I think this sheds good light on their capabilities and what we can use them for. And you know, hopefully as we are testing these out more, we'll find them to be very effective. And there are, you know, they've been used before for different things. And even in Emerald Ash Borer, we have found a number of different species. So we're trying different species to see how they're going to perform and on different life cycles of the beetle, because it's kind of a complicated issue as you start to look at, okay, how are they spreading, how are you going to apply it? But
so more to come on the potential for biocontrol. Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Ben Held is a forest pathologist for the University of Minnesota. You can find a link to his study on fungi species associated with the emerald ash borer infestations. It's at wpr.org/mornings. Just ahead, we have a conversation on cybersecurity threats and how small businesses can protect themselves. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.